I cannot call to mind ever indulging in sexual intercourse, even in a dream. Welcome back. This is Buddhist Books Podcast, episode 327, Tipitaka, part 211. Cholavaga 4, part 1. We're beginning Cholavaga 4. It's always nice to begin things, especially in the Tipitaka, because that's where the fun, like the story elements and new characters are introduced and shenanigans and things like that. When you get toward the end of each section is where it gets kind of dull and repetitive. So, looking forward to this one. If you would like to start at the beginning of the Tipitaka, or specifically the Vinaya Pitaka, the Discipline Basket, or if you'd like to check out the playlist, there's the Tipitaka playlist. And if you want to get more specific about which part of the Tipitaka, or if there's anything else that we've covered that you would like to check out, just you can click through to the main Buddhist Books Podcast channel down below, and the menu is pretty thorough. So, all right. I suppose without further ado, I'll go ahead and get started. The Lesser Division. Cholavaga, spelled like Kulavaga. What can you do? 4. At one time, the Awakened One, the Lord, was staying at Savati in the Jeta Grove in Anathapindika's monastery. Now at that time, the group of 6 monks, remember them, carried out formal acts of censure and guidance and banishment and reconciliation and suspension against monks who were not present. Those who were modest monks looked down upon, criticized, spread it about, saying, quote, "How can this group of 6 monks carry out formal acts of censure and suspension against monks who are not present?" End quote. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, "Is it true, as is said, monks, that these monks carried out formal acts of censure, and suspension against monks who were not present?" End quote. Quote, "It is true, Lord," end quote. The Awakened One, the Lord, rebuked them, saying, quote, "It is not fitting, monks, in these foolish men. It is not becoming. It is not suitable. It is not worthy of a recluse. It is not allowable. It is not to be done. How, monks, can these foolish men carry out formal acts of censure?" 3. Thank you, Polytech Society, for letting us know that you're there. I know that wasn't the first 3, but still, I just thought I'd mention. I always like to mention Polytech Society in the context of replacing the text that Lord Buddha is speaking with his mouth with 3, because he's repetitive, Lord Buddha. Yeah. Anyway, it was 1930s in England, so respect for these sorts of things isn't something we can expect them to have. Anyway, thank you, Polytech Society. These books are very lovely. Continuing. "And suspension against monks who are not present. It is not for pleasing those who are not yet pleased." 3. End quote. Having rebuked them, having given reasoned talk, he addressed the monks, saying, quote, "Monks, a formal act of censure or guidance or banishment or reconciliation or suspension should not be carried out against monks who are not present. Whoever should carry one out, there is an offense of wrongdoing." And Lord Buddha continues speaking. I think he's going to... Wow. This looks interesting. Okay, I'll just keep reading. An individual who professes non-dhamma makes known to an individual who professes dhamma, disposes him favorably, makes him consider, makes him reconsider, teaches him again, saying, quote within quotes, this is dhamma, this is discipline, this is the teacher's instruction, choose this, approve of this, end quote within quotes. If this legal question is settled thus, it is settled by what is not rule, and what has the appearance of a verdict in the presence of. Okay. An individual who professes non-dhamma makes known to several who profess dhamma, three dots. An individual who professes non-dhamma makes known to an order which professes dhamma, three dots. Several who profess non-dhamma make known to an individual who professes dhamma, three dots. Several who profess non-dhamma make known to several who profess dhamma, three dots. Several who profess non-dhamma make known to an order which professes dhamma, three dots. An order which professes non-dhamma makes known to an individual who professes dhamma, three dots. An order which professes non-dhamma makes known to several who profess dhamma, three dots. An order which professes non-dhamma makes known to an order which professes dhamma, disposes it favorably, makes it consider, makes it reconsider, teaches it again, saying, quote within quotes, this is dhamma, this is discipline, this is the teacher's instruction, choose this, approve of this, end quote within quotes. If this legal question is settled thus, it is settled by what is not rule, and what has the appearance of a verdict in the presence of. End quote. Told are the nine cases of the dark faction. Well, I can't say it made sense. I mean, I get it. Those who preach non-dharma, dhamma is Pali for dharma, shouldn't. But legal affairs? So dharma and legal affairs? See, it's a little confusing. I'm not really sure what it said, but we read it. Just filed it away. If a whole group that professes non-dhamma is telling a group that professes dhamma that their non-dhamma is dhamma, and there's some legal thing involved, that legal thing isn't valid, I guess, apparently. Comment below if you can think of an example. Okay, an individual who professes dhamma makes known to an individual who professes non-dhamma, three dots. An order which professes dhamma makes known to an order which professes non-dhamma, three dots. If this legal question is settled thus, it is settled by rule, by a verdict in the presence of, end quote. Told are the nine cases of the bright faction. Right, so if the people who profess dhamma are talking to the people who profess non-dhamma. The bright faction, the dark faction, and the bright faction. Okay. At one time, the awakened one, the Lord, was staying at Rajagaha in the bamboo grove at the squirrel's feeding place. There's a footnote. It's one of his, not his most popular place to stay, but one of them. From here to towards the end of 9 is almost word for word the same as Vinaya 3. Okay. We'll just read it. If we think, oh, this sounds familiar, then we'll go from there. At that time, perfection had been realized by the venerable Dabha the Malian 7 years after his birth. Yes, it does sound familiar. And all that should be attained by a disciple had been fully attained by him. For him, there was nothing further to be done, no increase to be added to that which had been done. Then this reasoning arose in the mind of the venerable Dabha the Malian as he was meditating in solitude. Quote, Perfection was realized by me 7 years after my birth. All that should be attained by a disciple has been fully attained by me. For me, there is nothing further to be done, no increase to be added to that which has been done. Now, what service could I render to the order? End quote. Then it occurred to the venerable Daba the Malian. Quote, suppose I were to assign lodgings to the order and issue meals. End quote. Then the venerable Daba the Malian, emerging from his meditation in the evening, approached the Lord. Having greeted the Lord, he sat down at a respectful distance. As he was sitting down at a respectful distance, the venerable Daba the Malian spoke thus to the Lord, quote, now, Lord, as I was meditating in solitude, this reasoning arose in my mind, quote within quotes, three dots, what service could I render the order, and quote within quotes, then, Lord, it occurred to me, quote within quotes, suppose I were to assign lodgings to the order and issue the meals, end quote within quotes, I want, Lord, to assign lodgings to the order and issue meals, end quote. Quote, it is good, Daba. Well then, do you, Daba, assign lodgings to the order and issue meals? End quote. Quote, very well, Lord, end quote. The venerable Daba the Malian answered the Lord in assent. Okay, Editor Edward?
Yes?
Hello, Editor Edward. For those who are new, that's actually me in the future from my perspective, but in the past from your perspective. He's in the present from his own perspective. Don't worry too much about it. Editor Edward, could you, just for fun, play a clip of the last time we read those exact words?
Sure. It is good. It is good, Daba. Then you, Daba, assign the lodgings to the order and distribute the meals.
That's cool. When was that?
That was Tipitaka Part 24. We recorded that on July 7th of 2022.
And when is it now?
Today is May 30th of 2026.
So how long ago was that?
That was 3 years, 10 months, and 23 days ago.
All right. So that was in which section?
It was Sangha Nisesa 8, the formal meetings.
All right, so that was when those kinds of rules for monks were being established, and now we're establishing a different type of order, rules of order within the within the order. So, yeah, presumably this is going to lead toward maybe a similar issue or the same issue, but it's going to be explained how it should be dealt with, or how whatever comes up, different things will come up. So it's the same up until section 9, where we're in section 2 or something. Okay, I'll keep reading.
Then the Lord, on this occasion, in this connection, having given reasoned talk, addressed the monks, saying, quote, well then, monks, let the order agree upon Daba the Malian as assigner of lodgings and issuer of meals. And thus, monks, should he be agreed upon. First, Daba the Malian should be asked. Having asked him, the order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote within quotes, honored sirs, let the order listen to me. If it seems right to the order may agree upon the venerable Daba the Malian as assigner of lodgings and issuer of meals.
I like how he explains how the process should be done, rather than just saying, hey, everybody, he's going to be doing that from now on. He's letting them know how, in the future, in his absence, they should agree upon an assigner of lodgings and an issuer of meals. Anyway, this in order that the order should last a very long time, in order that the most people possible should, hearkening back to the original sort of mission statement when Ananda asked Lord Buddha, what makes the difference between an order that lasts a long time and an order that doesn't? And Lord Buddha explained that having lots of rules will make it last a long time, at least long enough for Mahayana to come into existence, and then they'll take it from there. No, that wasn't exactly what he said, but many would assume that that's what he meant.
because of the whole omniscience thing. All right, anyway. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. The order is agreeing upon the venerable Daba the Malian as assigner of lodgings and issuer of meals. If the agreement upon the venerable Daba the Malian as assigner of lodgings and issuer of meals is pleasing to the venerable ones, they should be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. The venerable Daba the Malian is agreed upon by the order as assigner of lodgings and issuer of meals. It is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this. End quote within quotes. End quotes. And the venerable Daba the Malian, thus agreed upon, assigned lodgings in the same place for these monks who belonged to the same company. For those monks who knew the Sutantas, he assigned lodgings in the same place, thinking, quote, these will be able to chant over the Sutantas to one another, end quote. For those monks who were expert in discipline, he assigned lodgings in the same place, thinking, quote, they will decide upon discipline together, end quote. For those monks who were talkers on Dhamma, he assigned lodgings in the same place, thinking, quote, they will discuss Dhamma with one another, end quote. For those monks who were musers, he assigned lodgings in the same place, thinking, quote, they will not disturb one another, end quote. For those monks who were talkers on inferior matters and who were athletic, he assigned lodgings at the same place, thinking, quote, these reverend ones will live according to their pleasure, end quote. For those monks who came in late at night, he, having attained the condition of heat, assigned lodgings by this light. What? So much so that the monks came in late at night on purpose, thinking, quote, we will see a wonder of the psychic potency of the venerable Daba the Malian, end quote. And these, having approached the venerable Daba the Malian, spoke thus, quote, Reverend Daba, assign us lodgings, end quote. The venerable Daba the Malian spoke thus to them, quote, where do your reverences desire them? Where shall I assign them? End quote. These monks would quote a distant place on purpose, saying, quote, Reverend Daba, assign us lodgings on the Vulture's Peak. Your Reverence, assign us lodgings on the Robber's Cliff. Your Reverence, assign us lodgings on the slopes of Isigili Hill on the Black Rock. Your Reverence, assign us lodgings on the slopes of Vibara at Satapani Cave. Your Reverence, assign us lodgings in Sita's Wood on the slopes of the Snake Pool. Your Reverence, assign us lodgings at the Gotama Glen. Your Reverence, assign us lodgings at the Tinduka Glen. Your Reverence, assign us lodgings at the Tapoda Glen. Your Reverence, assign us lodgings at the Tapoda Park. Your Reverence, assign us lodgings at Jivaka's Mango Grove. Your Reverence, assign us lodgings at Mata Kukikuchi in the Deer Park. Mata Kukichi in the Deer Park. End quote. The venerable Daba the Malian, having obtained the condition of heat, went in front of these monks with his finger glowing, and they, by this light, went behind the venerable Daba the Malian. The venerable Daba the Malian assigned them lodgings thus, quote, this is the couch, this is the chair, this the mattress, this the squatting mat, this a privy, that a privy, this the drinking water, this the water for washing, this the staff, this is the form of the order's agreement, this is the time it should be entered upon, this the time it should be departed from. End quote. The venerable Daba the Malian, having assigned lodgings to these, went back again to the bamboo grove. Now at that time, monks who were followers of Metia and Bhumajaka were newly ordained and of little merit. They obtained whatever inferior lodgings belonged to the order and inferior meals. At that time, people in Rajagaha wanted to give the monks who were elders alms food, having a specially good seasoning, and ghee and oil and dainties. But To the monks who were followers of Metiya and Bhumajaka, they gave sufficient ordinary food, broken rice accompanied by sour gruel. These, on returning from almsgathering after their meal, asked the monks who were elders, quote, "What did you, your reverences, get at the refectory? What did you?" End quote. Some elders spoke, quote, "There was ghee for us, your reverences. There was oil for us. There were dainties for us." End quote. But the monks who were followers of Metiya and Bhumajaka spoke thus, quote, "There was nothing for us, your reverences, except sufficient ordinary food, broken rice accompanied by sour gruel." End quote. Now at that time, a householder who had nice food gave the order in continuous food supply, meals consisting of four ingredients. He, with his wife and children, attended and served in the refectory. They offered boiled rice to some monks. They offered curry to others. They offered oil to others. They offered dainties to others. Now at that time, a meal given by the householder who had nice food was apportioned for the following day to the monks who were followers of Metiya and Bhumajaka. Then the householder who had nice food went to the monastery on some business or other and approached the venerable Daba the Malian. Having greeted the venerable Daba the Malian, he sat down at a respectful distance. As the householder who had nice food was sitting down at a respectful distance, the venerable Daba the Malian delighted, rejoiced, roused, gladdened him with talk on Dhamma. Then when the householder who had nice food had been delighted, three dots, gladdened by the venerable Daba the Malian with talk on Dhamma, he spoke thus to the venerable Daba the Malian, quote, "For whom, honored sir, is the meal apportioned for tomorrow in my house?" End quote, within quotes all of a sudden. So it was an open, ordinary quote, close, typo. Quote, "Householder," or just maybe the ink, something. Well, anyway, one or the other. Quote, "Householder, the meal apportioned in your house for tomorrow is for monks who are followers of Metiya and Bhumajaka." End quote. Then the householder who had nice food was sorry and said, quote, "Why should these depraved monks enjoy themselves in my house?" End quote. And having gone to his house, he enjoined a slave woman, saying, quote, "Having prepared a seat in the porch for those who come to eat tomorrow, serve them with broken rice accompanied by sour gruel." End quote. Quote, "Very well, master." End quote. The woman slave answered to the householder who had nice food in assent. Then the monks who were followers of Metiya and Bhumajaka said to one another, quote, "Yesterday, your reverences, a meal was apportioned to us by the householder who has nice food. Tomorrow, the householder who has nice food, attending with his wife and children, will serve us. They will offer boiled rice to some, they will offer curry to others, they will offer oil to others, they will offer dainties to others," end quote. These, because of their happiness, did not sleep that night as much as expected. Then the monks who were followers of Metiya and Bhumajaka, dressing in the morning and taking their bowls and robes, approached the dwelling of the householder who had nice food. That woman slave saw the monks who were followers of Metiya and Bhumajaka coming from afar. Seeing them, having prepared a seat in the porch, she said to the monks who were followers of Metiya and Bhumajaka, quote, "Sit down, honored sirs," end quote. Then it occurred to the monks who were followers of Metiya and Bhumajaka, quote, "But undoubtedly, the food will not be ready as we are made to sit in the porch." End quote. Then the woman slave came up with the broken rice accompanied by sour gruel. Quote, "Eat, honored sirs," end quote, she said. Quote, "But sister, we are those who enjoy a continuous supply of food," end quote. Quote, I know that the masters enjoy a continuous supply of food, but only yesterday I was enjoined by the householder, quote within quotes, having prepared a seat in the porch for those who come for a meal tomorrow, serve them with broken rice accompanied by sour gruel. And quote within quotes, eat, honored sirs, end quote, she said. She's passing the buck. Then the monks who were followers of Mattia and Bhumajaka thought, quote, yesterday, your reverences, the householder who has nice food went to Daba the Malian in the monastery. Doubtless Daba the Malian has set the householder at variance with us. End quote. These monks, on account of their distress, did not eat as much as expected. Then the monks who were followers of Mattia and Bhumajaka, returning from almsgathering after the meal, having arrived at the monastery, having put away their bowls and robes, sat down outside the gateway of the monastery, squatting against their outer cloaks, silent, abashed, their shoulders bent, their heads lowered, brooding. Speechless. Then the nun Mattia approached the monks who were followers of Mattia and Bhumajaka. It's a little confusing because her name is Mattia, but with a line over the A, and these are the monks who were followers of Mattia without the line over the A, and Bhumajaka. So, having approached, she spoke thus to the monks who were followers of Mattia and Bhumajaka. Quote, I salute you, masters, end quote. When she had spoken thus, the monks who were followers of Mattia and Bhumajaka did not respond. A second time, three dots. A third time, the monks who were followers of Mattia and Bhumajaka did not respond. So the nun Mattia went and spoke to them and they ignored her. She spoke again. They ignored her again. She spoke again. They ignored her again. But the Polytech Society was like, oh, something happening more than once. Okay, put it in three dots. So you kind of miss the effect of the storytelling. Polytech Society, my God, what's wrong with you? Sorry. Quote, do I offend against the masters? Why do the masters not respond to me? And quote, she said, quote, it is because you, sister, neglected us when we were being got into difficulties by Daba the Malian. End quote. Quote, what can I do, masters? End quote, she said. I'm starting to remember this, and I'm hoping that it goes a different direction. How much longer is it going to be the same? Oh, yeah, this is really gross. All right, believe victims in spite of stories like this. Not to say that things like this don't happen, it's just, well, I'll just keep reading. It's, quote, if you would like, sister, this very day you could make the Lord expel Daba the Malian, end quote. Quote, what can I do, masters? How am I able to do that? End quote. Quote, you come, sister, approach the Lord. Having approached the Lord, say to the Lord, quote within quotes, now, Lord, it is not proper, it is not becoming that this quarter, which should be without fear, secure, without danger, is the very quarter which is full of fear, insecure, full of danger, where there was a calm, now there is a gale. It seems this very water is blazing. I have been assaulted by Master Daba the Malian, end quote within quotes. End quote. Okay. Quote, very well, masters. Quote, that was easy. And the nun Mattia, having answered the monks who were followers of Mattia and Bhumajaka in assent, approached the Lord. Having greeted the Lord, she stood at a respectful distance. As she was standing at a respectful distance, the nun Mattia spoke thus to the Lord. Quote, now, Lord, it is not proper, three dots. I have been assaulted by Master Daba the Malian. End quote. Then the Lord, on this occasion, in this connection, having had the order of monks convened, questioned the venerable Daba the Malian, saying, quote, do you, Daba, remember doing as the nun says? End quote. Quote, Lord, the Lord knows in regard to me, end quote, and a second time, three dots, and a third time, three dots. Quote, Lord, the Lord knows in regard to me, end quote. Quote, Daba, The Dabas do not give evasive answers like that. If what was done by you was done by you, say so. If it was not done by you, say it was not so. End quote. Quote, since I, Lord, was born, I cannot call to mind ever indulging in sexual intercourse, even in a dream, much less so when I was awake. End quote. Then the Lord addressed the monks, saying, quote, well then, monks, expel the nun Metia, and take these monks to task. End quote. Having spoken thus, the Lord, rising from his seat, entered a dwelling place. Then these monks expelled the nun Metia. Then the monks who were followers of Metia and Bhumijaka spoke thus to these monks, quote, your reverences, do not expel the nun Metia. In no way has she offended. Is this the point where it is different? No. She was urged on by us, right, because we were angry, displeased, and wanted him out of the way. End quote. I mean, it's old. It's very old. It's just, so far in the five that we've read, I don't think it's ever come up. I think that Udayan forced himself on, like, the Brahmin's wife or something, but it hasn't come up that a nun has come and told Lord Buddha that a monk forced himself on her. Which, given the nature of humanity, seems like something that might happen once in a while. The only time that that situation comes up is this, and it's mentioned twice, and she's lying. And how does Lord Buddha know? Because he's omniscient? No. He asks him, and he says, no, I didn't do that. So he kicks out the nun who accused the monk. And that establishes the precedent for these kinds of situations. And that kind of makes me sick and sad, and the parts of me that want to cling to and cleave to the idea of historical Buddhism as a source of a sense of identity or a sense of there being something good in the world, vanishes, and then I'm left like an island floating in the chaos of the void. Well, that's a relief. Don't cling to historical Buddhism as a raft in the void of existential oblivion. There's the lesson. All right, let's read this crap. No, I mean, here I am accusing the Polytech Society of being disrespectful, and then I say things like that. What a hypocrite. Anyway, where were we? But are you not, your reverences, defaming the venerable Daba the Malian with an unfounded charge of falling away from moral habit? End quote. Quote, yes, your reverences, end quote. Those who were modest monks looked down upon, criticized, spread it about, saying, quote, how can these monks who were followers of Metia and Bhumijaka defame the venerable Daba the Malian with an unfounded charge of falling away from moral habit? End quote. Then these monks told this matter to the Lord. He said, quote, is it true, as is said, monks, that the monks who are followers of Metia and Bhumijaka defamed Daba the Malian with an unfounded charge of falling away from moral habit? End quote. It is true, Lord, end quote. Having rebuked them, having given reason to talk, he addressed the monks, saying, okay, now we've reached the point where something is different, because the footnote said that up until the ninth part, we just finished the ninth part. All right, now the story is going to vary a little bit, apparently. We'll see how it goes, and we'll try to let go of that. Quote, well then, monks, let the order give a verdict of innocence to Daba the Malian, who has remembered fully. And thus, monks, should it be given. Monks, Daba the Malian, having approached the order, having arranged his upper robe over one shoulder, having honored the feet of the senior monks, having sat down on his haunches, having saluted with joined palms, should speak thus to it. Quote within quotes, honored sirs, these monks, followers of Metia and Bhumijaka, defamed me with an unfounded charge of falling away from moral habit. But I, honored sirs, having remembered fully, ask the order for a verdict of innocence, end quote within quotes, And a second time, it should be asked for 3 dots. And a third time, it should be asked for. Quote within quotes, honored sirs, these monks who are followers of Metia and Bumajaka defamed me with an unfounded charge of falling away from moral habit. So I, honored sirs, having remembered fully, for a third time, ask the order for a verdict of innocence, end quote within quotes. The order should be informed by an experienced, competent monk, saying, quote within quotes, honored sirs, let the order listen to me. These monks who are followers of Metia and Bumajaka defamed the venerable Daba the Malian with an unfounded charge of falling away from moral habit. The venerable Daba the Malian, having remembered fully, is asking the order for a verdict of innocence. If it seems right to the order may give the venerable Daba the Malian, who has remembered fully, a verdict of innocence. This is the motion. What do they mean, who has remembered fully? Because clearly it doesn't mean the same thing that you and I might mean if we said remembered fully. Remembered fully as in didn't accost someone and then when asked was swirly about it and then finally said, no, I didn't accost her. You should know that about me. I'm not the sort of person who does that. And besides, I'm 7 years old. Honored sirs, let the order listen to me. These monks who are followers of Metia and Bumajaka, 3 dots, is asking the order for a verdict of innocence. The order is giving the venerable Daba the Malian, who has remembered fully, a verdict of innocence. If the giving of a verdict of innocence to the venerable Daba the Malian, who has remembered fully, is pleasing to the venerable one. So it's interesting. That's interesting. I mean, just if you're accused. I mean, okay. So if somebody accuses you and that becomes a trial in present day, then you're declared not guilty. So that's pretty much the same as a verdict of innocence. So he was accused, and so they're like, okay, let's formally say he's not guilty, right? Something like that? I don't know. Anyway, if the giving of the verdict of innocence to the venerable Daba the Malian, who has remembered fully, is pleasing to the venerable ones, then they should be silent. He to whom it is not pleasing should speak. And a second time I speak forth this matter, 3 dots. And a third time I speak forth this matter, 3 dots. A verdict of innocence is given by the order to the venerable Daba the Malian, who has remembered fully. It is pleasing to the order, therefore it is silent. Thus do I understand this. End quote within quotes. Monks, there are these 5 legally valid properties in giving a verdict of innocence. If the monk is pure and without offenses, and if they approach him, and if he asks, if the order gives him a verdict of innocence, if it is by rule the assembly being complete, these, monks, are the 5 legally valid properties in giving a verdict of innocence. End quote. I mean, it is what it is. Like, you know, like, okay. Outside of looking at it in that particular context, Lord Buddha, he scolds monks, I mean, for expressing themselves in a desirous way. So, and he declares nuns innocent. There was a point where a nun was accosted, let's say, just to keep it PG. A nun was not interested in the advances of a particular Brahmin in the story. And he forced himself upon her. And she didn't get kicked out because it was without consent. So, you know, yeah. All things considered, it's good to bring up a situation where a nun might falsely accuse a monk as a means of hurting him. It just seems like kind of flimsy that all he had to do was say, no, I didn't do that. And then he immediately kicks the nun out of the order. But obviously, Lord Buddha is meant to be omniscient, so he would have known and seen through, but
Still, establishing that precedent seems not great. And early Buddhism, especially, has a reputation for being overtly sexist. And so I have a tendency to keep an eye out for that. But then what can I do about it when I catch it? I feel like if I don't say something, that's not good. Because especially when it comes to old traditions and old religions in the world we live in today, people use old religions and old traditions to rationalize and justify their abhorrent behavior in present day. So, by choosing to in any way at all honor or look at, or read aloud, think about, consider the words written down thousands of years ago, it seems the responsible thing to do to point out where the problems are. So anyway, maybe not. It's just how I'm approaching it for today on this episode of a silly YouTube video. So I won't think about it too much. All right. I hope that you enjoyed yourself. And the good news is I can tell that in the next paragraph, they're moving on to a different story, not about this, but about something else and a different person who I don't think we've heard of before. But it was interesting to revisit these characters. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that Aang from Avatar The Last Airbender played the role of Dabba the Malian, right? And then the nun was the... what that is she's from The Little Mermaid when Ursula disguises herself and uses Ariel's voice to trick the prince into marrying her instead of Ariel. That's who played the other... I can't remember their names. the one who lied and said that she was attacked. So anyway, all right. This was an episode. And next time we'll be continuing. Actually, next time it's going to be 328. So according to the clock, notice that means that that we're going to be reading Shobogen. So it'll be nice. I like, you know, obviously... the Dharma wheel indicates when we read Tipitaka, so that's our main emphasis and everything. But it is nice to take a little break, especially to read Shobogenzo. I really love Shobogenzo, and that's one of those rare exceptions, maybe the only rare exception, where it's something that I've read before. Normally, things I read aloud on here are things I haven't read before, but Shobogenzo is something that I've already read twice, and I'm happy to read it aloud. Because I like to read it. Happy to share it too, because other people might enjoy it as well. I'll go ahead and do our usual closing. To the north and to the south, to the east and to the west, to the spirits of light among us and to the spirits below, we send out our reverent love and compassion. May all beings be happy. May all beings be serene. May all beings be in peace. Until next time.